Active FM radio has never been better.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This is Active FM
radio.
Slow down the beat.
Welcome. This is the turntable brought to you by Shiki, Ari Styles, and D Money on Active FM, where radio has never been better.
As Shiki said, I am Ari Styles, and this is the turntable where we keep you learned and get you turned, or get you learned and keep you turned, however you want to look at it.
You can get it however you want it.
Yeah, however you want it.
I'm D Money, and you know we're bringing you the facts, playing you the tracks, and we got a great show ahead for you all today. So let's get into it.
So before we kick the show off, we just want to start with the song.
So that was Mary Mary, God in Me. So today's show we're going to bring you, as if you were listening last week, we said we're going to be discussing hip-hop beefs. So today we're going to start with one of the very first beef in hip-hop history, which is KRS-One versus MC Shan.
In the starting, you said if you were listening last week,
were you listening?
We're bringing in We'll be discussing certain beefs, and then you say this was one
the first.
So clearly you weren't listening last week.
You weren't listening last week because this was not the first.
One of the first.
We spoke because last week we spoke about that one of the two first beefs, the one on Wax and the one you said Buzzy B,
and Cool Moe Dee,
and the one on Wax was Roxanne, the Roxanne.
Shante, yeah. Which was also part of the same thing.
Yeah, it's gonna end up.
So to some extent you are correct.
Yeah,
it was the same crew.
But
Different individuals.
Chronological order. There's no particular order.
Chronological order and particular order is two
different things. But yeah.
Okay. Chronological order because, is like yeah. first to last.
Yeah. So first to last. First was the Buzzy B, Kulmodi, Nota to make.
So Diren, please don't only be part of recording our shows. Listen to it as well.
Oh, listen to who's speaking.
It would be very helpful.
Yeah, yes. I'm very helpful. Yeah. Well, yeah. But today we're going to discuss the bridge wars. Shiki, would you want to start with the bridge wars?
All right. So. Firstly, I know it's generally acceptable calling these beefs, but they're actually technically battles. A beef, I think, is something a little bit more personal, which I got into last week. This was KRS-One versus MC Sen, the Juice Crew versus BDP, which is Boogie Down Productions. That's why we said it ties into Roxanne Shante, because she was Juice Crew, which was Mali Mal and basically people from Queensbridge. This was one of the first times, before I get into how it started and all of that things, this was one of the first times where you actually saw, which became a trend in hip-hop afterwards, you saw 50 Cent do it, you saw Cannabis try it with LL Cool J and Lose, where an unknown, unestablished artist attacked an established artist, someone that was on top of the game, won and basically took his spot. Mm-hmm. After that, many hip-hop artists tried that. This was basically KRS-One attacking MC Shen and basically taking his spot. And MC Shen, to a lot of people, felt like he fell off after that. And this was one of the blueprints for that. A lot of people used it afterwards. 50 Cent with Ja Rule, many, many occasions. I think this was the most successful one. And we'll get into those other ones as the weeks go along. Also, this element, the dust beef brought in like Jamaican elements. If you listen to KRS's music, there was a lot of Jamaican elements within the music, so this was one of the first times it came through.
Yeah.
Right. Now, with regard to how it started, there's different stories, right? But then KRS eventually came out and spoke the truth. So basically, KRS-One
and
Scott LaRock approached someone by the name of Mr. Magic.
And who was part of the, basically, not part of the Juice Crew, but
associated
with the Juice Crew.
He was a radio DJ.
Radio DJ,
yes. But he would
one
play
of the
Juice
hottest radio DJs.
And he either didn't like the record that they gave him or he didn't take it or something, so they were offended by that. And they ended up dusting MC Shen. But the excuse they used was he had a song called The Bridge.
Yes.
And The Bridge was basically saying, in the beginning, Mali Mal, yeah. legendary hip-hop producer.
MC Shen basically stated on the track, I'm gonna quote from the line, from his verse, from his on his song, The Bridge, MC Shen's track, is MC Shen said it like this: "You love to hear the story again and again of how it all started way back when. The monument is right in your face. Sit and listen for a while to the name of the place, the bridge. Queen, the bridge. They flipped that line to make it sound like MC Shen was talking about Hip Hop Saturday.
So basically what they did is use an excuse to attack him. On The Bridge, even in the beginning, you hear Mali Mal started the record basically saying this is how they started or where they came from.
Yeah.
So they're not saying hip-hop started in Queensbridge. They were saying how hip-hop started for them, got introduced to it, not where it actually started. But this was an excuse Chris used to say, okay, hip-hop actually started in the South Bronx where he's from, and these people are saying they started there, so it was an excuse to attack them.
But actually,
But then later on, he came out and said he was just offended by Mr. Magic and he wanted to attack somebody.
He wanted to attack.
Because that's how KRS is.
Yeah.
And that was his excuse to attack somebody.
Yeah, and to say it started from South Bronx, it actually started in West Bronx. If you guys listen to our first show where we said hip hop started in 11th August.
So I wasn't listening also.
It started in West Bronx. Specifically, I'll even give you the avenue, 11 Sedgwick.
Sedgwick Avenue. I remember you saying that. Yeah,
1973, yeah.
Right, so
August,
so,
yeah.
Was it like basically the Bronx or New York on a whole that started hip-hop, but it was
New York is regarded as the mecca of hip-hop.
Where DJ Kulak.
DJ Kulak, yeah.
Because then you got
Africa Mabata, yeah. So DJ Kulak in Bronx, and then south of Bronx was Afrika Bambaataa.
Where Chris is from, and he was associated with Zulu Nation and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. Just another further background on KRS, right? Mm-hmm. An interesting story. How KRS got found. Scott LaRock found KRS-One.
Living in a shelter,
yeah. So Scott LaRock used to work in a homeless shelter, and then he just heard this guy banging and freestyling and banging, and rapping on the while he's banging on the, I think it was banging on the drum, and that's how KRS got was founded.
I like it's just rest in peace to Scott LaRocky.
Yeah,
was killed. Yeah. Anyway, so going from there, the Bridge was MC Shen's record, and then the KRS came one responded with South Bronx. Bronx.
Yes, with so, South Bronx. Yeah, basically it's similar to the. It's similar to The Bridge.
Same hook, just same South, hook, South Bronx as
yeah,
opposed
but,
to
but it, yeah, The Bridge. But instead of The Bridge, it went to South Bronx. So there was a concert, the South Bronx first premiere, you know, on a concert where MC Shen was performing before KRS-One came in. So when MC Shen performed The Bridge and then KRS-One came after that, and that's when South Bronx came on to...
Yeah, basically, that, like I said earlier, it also had some Jamaican flavor in there, that song. And then it was, he said, I think it was DJ Red Alert that played that song, mm-hmm. if I'm correct. KRS says this, and then he played it 3 times. So the song was actually a hit and was in response to The Bridge, which wasn't a diss record. But South Bronx was a response, also might not necessarily have been a diss record. And then MC Shen responded to South Bronx.
With the Kill the Noise.
Kill That Noise. Now... See, and basically a lot of people say he lost. Hence, KRS became established and kind of took his spot at that point in time.
Yeah, so when MC Shen came up with it, would Kill That Noise, mm-hmm. and that's when we got The Bridge Is Over.
Mm-hmm.
The response, that was the response to Kill That Noise. And yeah, so people might have said, okay, MC Shen lost, or okay, everybody...
It's universally accepted.
But MC Shen in an interview basically stated that Marley Marl told he wanted to get a track ready to go against The Bridge Is Over, but Marley Marl talked him out of it.
I think basically because The Bridge Is Over was universally accepted as the winning record, and Chris was such a deadly MC, especially a battle MC at that point in time, taking nothing away from MC Shen. I think they felt like he couldn't come back. So basically, yes, The Bridge Is Over. And The Bridge Is Over wasn't only attacking MC Shen, it was attacking Queensbridge and Queens as a whole at that point in time. So that's why, hence the term The Bridge Is Over. Yeah. Queensbridge was the part of Queens where all the rappers were coming from at that point in time. So during that period of time, they said it's over for Queens and Queensbridge until what album came out, Ari? After The Bridge Is Over.
Yeah.
I said it was you watch Drink Champs all the time.
Yeah.
You listen to Drink Champs, right? They said it was over for Queens after The Bridge Is Over.
I know where you think.
Until a specific album came out that brought Queens and Queensbridge back.
Ilmatic.
I was just Just throwing it out there.
So
was that not the fact?
It's a fact. It's a fact.
He
brought Queens back. No doubt. And then after Young Medic changed the game, and then you started getting the Queens
resurgence.
Yeah, Queens resurgence. And then when we ended up with someone by the name of Curtis Jackson.
That was many years.
but you found a way to bring
it was
Nas.
9 years later.
But it doesn't matter. You found a way to bring in Nas. And it was also about 1986,
87. I just said album. I never said his name.
No.
94. Yeah,
star.
I just said
didn't he bring it in? So
basically,
can't I bring one of my people?
Harry, slow down.
I was speaking about the impact and the power of The Bridge Is Over that it killed the entire borough for hip-hop, right? Yeah. Even though there were people that were around that time, Kool G Rap and other people came out as well. But the borough was looked at as dead until that album came. So I was talking about the impact of The Bridge Is Over.
Okay.
You just had to bring up someone that came out in 03.
Yeah, I had to. It's part of life, people's character. So do you know what Roxanne Shanté also made a diss track against KRS?
Yeah, this might have been before that time.
Remember, Big Daddy Kane was part of the Juice Crew,
mm-hmm.
right?
And Roxanne Shanté.
So because KRS also went against
the entire Juice Crew.
Yeah,
but well, they looked at it like that. He was only attacking MC Shen,
but they looked at it like that. The only two people that he was cool with KRS was
Buzzmaki
and Big Daddy Kane, right? And just on that, what Roxanne Shanté's just against the KRS-One. Mm-hmm. Big Daddy Kane was the one that
wrote it for.
Yeah. And then we went, and the bridge was...
No disrespect to Kane, but I don't feel like he would have been able to stand in the ring with Chris. On the battle side. There's an MC maybe, but on the battle side...
Yeah, he basically said KRS is a battle rapper.
They recently had a versus... it was KRS versus Big Daddy Kane versus a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
A lot of people were hoping for Big Daddy Kane versus Rakim, but they said Rakim's not such a great performer.
Yeah.
So they went that route anyway.
Anyway, let's go on with the story of the bridge. The bridge was, it's a legacy that will always loaded, that will always be there in hip hop. I think everybody said it, if KRS never had to attack MC Shen, KRS's career was going to hit it, was going to go in a different way.
Well, he said it as well. He said if Shen never responded, what killed that noise, he'd have no career. Because he responded to South Bronx, what killed that noise, it allowed him to make the bridges over and then establish himself as an artist. So early on, I said basically, unestablished artist attacking. He basically gave him his career.
Fighting for the top spot. Yeah. So
that's always been a part of the hip-hop. That's beef is one of the blueprints for how battles went in the future. You know, people use that technique and that way to come up and to get noticed.
Yeah, and then if you want to study about battle rapping, because there's something that KRS also mentioned, how he practices to battle. So he sees who's the top 10 in the billboard.
Top 10 hip-hop artists.
Top 10 hip-hop artists, and then he starts writing his battle, doing his battle raps, just for him to practice and keep, for him to keep the skill. And as rappers, you need to sharpen your sword, you need to practice daily.
He wasn't saying that to say he was practicing. He was basically saying to warn the top 10 that say something crazy.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Yeah, but he said he still is
a competitor.
But he mentioned he practiced.
Yeah.
And then basically, do you know when in which year that Dutch beef got revived?
I don't think it ever ended. If you saw it never ended. MC Shen a couple of weeks ago,
it died off. It went off, not died off, but it will never die off, but it was silent. And then I think it was 2016 or 2006, somewhere, the interview with MC Shen. And that's when MC Shen said, apparently there was a phone call interview, right? And on the phone call, MC Shen said, I'll hit a verse against KRS without the beat. Tell him to come out, and he did it. KRS responded with another track, and literally killed it.
Yeah, no, he's...
And asked MC Shen to apologize.
Do you say something about KRS yesterday or the other day? You saw something recently about the freestyle?
Yeah, the way he's been dissing all the new rappers and the new flow. So I think he's been... doing this his whole career.
Yeah, that's his thing.
That's his thing.
Because he got the rule book for hip-hop, and I think one of them, in the books, he says, rule number 71, never does KRS-One or something. I don't know which number it is, but I know there's a one in there.
Yeah, and then also in 2007, this is still a legacy of the bridge wars, right? Mm-hmm. In 2000, something historic. In 2007, Marley Marl and KRS collabs on
a track.
An album.
They did an album.
They did an album. And MC Shen also in that interview.
Had an issue with Marley Marl doing that.
He had an issue, he said, Marley Marl was a guy, remember he had a beef with LL Cool J at the same point where the bridge was?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the South, if you listen to the South Bronx, KRS mentions about LL. Because at that specific time, MC Shen was going against LL. Because LL apparently...
was the commercial rapper at that point.
No, besides that, he was saying... he made a track against LL saying LL is a beat biter. There's a track called Beat Biter.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Which is a dust to LL because...
of the Marley Marl record. Because of the Marley Marl...
he feel like he stole the Marley Marl record with Rock the Bells. Something of that sort. So... MC Shen said... with Marley Marl... all the guys MC Shen went against... Marley Marl made a collab with him.
But he was a producer, so you can't really put him in that.
You can't put him in that.
Don't confuse Marley Marl and Melly Mel to the front.
Yeah, Marley Marl.
He was legendary.
Yeah, producer. But I see that's why when you witness the when you see what MC Shen now, in his interviews, you can see still he has that something hidden.
No, it's not hidden. He blatantly says he still don't like him and still want to battle. Yeah. It's nothing hidden.
Yeah, so this beef is still going on.
It's still going on.
I don't think it's active, but I don't
think
it's
not active.
They've been on stage and things together. It's just that I think there'll always be a wound that's open, especially on Shan's side, because within hip hop, especially at that point in time, if you lose, you were out, you were done. Mm. Not you could still make music and still and still sell records and perform and whatever, but you loss will always be what you. It's not like today where you can lose and Drake's still the biggest artist out there and he lost damn near every battle he's in. Besides the Meek situation, right? Back then, if you lost and you lost badly, there was like a stain on your reputation for the rest of your career. So he still feels a certain way about it because then battling was extremely important. It should be still till today, but unfortunately.
Yeah. So, if you even even when you see in the Dream Champs, MC Shan has that heart in it.
Yeah, he says so.
But no one's downing MC Shan. MC Shan's still like one of the
forefathers.
One of the pioneers of lyrical rap, as you can say it.
Chris as well. Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a top whatever discussion the other day. A lot of people have him up there in his, depending on what your preferences are.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else to add on this topic?
Yeah, no, that's about it. Because
so the bridge is over.
Because the bridge
is
not yet. That's why I asked earlier, is the bridge over?
If you count where most of the people, great rappers, come from one borough and one project in one borough, is Queensbridge. They have the most rappers that come from one place and the most impactful, lyrical, like great rappers that come from one particular place is Queens and Queensbridge specifically.
It's not over. Hence I'm saying, is the bridge over?
No, they had a resurgence after a specific album that shall not be named, Illmatic.
Illmatic, Nas.
And then day afterwards, there was a flurry of them, actually looking at Comega, Capone, Mobb Deep. Yes, there's so many.
And 50 Cent.
That's not from the bridge, but yes.
It's from Queens.
Anyway. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. So next, let's get into a track.
Well, the artist we're focusing on for this week is Toby Mac. So let's get into a track from him.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope. Shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. Cause all I know is you're my only hope.
Thank you. closer, I come to life.
Okay, so that was Toby Mac, I Just Need You. So as Shiki was saying, our focus artist for the week is Toby Mac, also known as by his government name as Kevin Michael McKinnon.
McKeon.
So he was born in 1964 in Virginia, USA. So he's a Christian hip-hop artist as well as Christian rock. He's a rapper, singer, producer, songwriter. He's been active since 1987.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
The labels that he's part of is Forefront and EMI CMG. So a little interesting fact about Toby Mac as well. So when he was 13 years old, he went on to a camp. So he was actually told it was going to be a basketball camp, but it was actually a Christian camp. And that's where him and four of the other guys actually gave their lives to God. And that's where his like journey with the hip hop started.
And so you met a group member there? Like
To elude that, the group members'
to
names.
To elude to that.
Yeah.
You just use the wrong word and then continue like no one's going to notice.
Sorry.
Elude means
sorry,
evade.
Sorry.
To elude means to evade.
Oh, sorry.
You use the wrong word.
I use the wrong word.
My mistake.
To continue with what you're saying, in 1987, you said he met a few group members.
Yeah.
In the scam for and they basically formed a group called DC Talk.
In 1987.
If you listen to our first show where we spoke about origins, uh-huh, and the origins of hip hop, I mentioned a few groups, and DC Talk is one of the founding members of the Christian hip hop.
So he was part of their group.
Mm-hmm. DC Talk, yeah. He's the one that formed it.
They were active from 1987 till 2000 when they took a hiatus. Mace. If you know.
so
there was no welcome back for him.
Yeah, he just found a way to bring him back.
When he got like into his solo career from 2001.
Granted, I do feel like we have to discuss Mace at some point in time because he didn't just take a hiatus, he took a hiatus to become a pastor.
Yeah.
And then came back as Murder Mace, which is ridiculous, but anyway.
Yeah. And then on that, Toby Mac has won 8 Grammys.
Oh, that's quite a high number for hip hop artist.
The first being back in 1993. In 2008, he won a Grammy Award for Best Rock Gospel Album.
Okay.
In 2012, Best Contemporary Christian Music Album. In 2015, Best Contemporary Christian Music Album.
I don't put much credence on awards, especially like the Grammys and things like that, because they don't tell me what's good and what's not. But I think artists that's overlooked like someone like this and the fact that he got 8 Grammys is something that should be highlighted because clearly the music is of a certain quality.
And another fact also, like between DC Talk and his solo album in his career, he sold more than 10 million albums, which is
quite a decent number for a Christian artist, which is somewhat regarded as an underground genre.
Christian hip-hop.
Subgenre. Christian hip-hop artist, yeah. Which is looked at as an underground subgenre, if not. Mm. So to have moved that type of units as well as get 8 Grammys.
Okay.
So he's been in the game and then, okay, so there is some, but on a sadder note, in 2019, his son passed away by an accidental overdose. And so that was like the period in his life where he said that up until that point, everything was like perfect and beautiful, and that's when he experienced grief.
Struck.
Yeah, so, but he's still been in the game. He says he's still able to, like, in his fate, he will see his child like again, and he's still active in his music and still going on.
Yeah, so on his solo career, right? I'm gonna give a list of albums. If you guys want to listen to it, you can do so. Albums, especially started in his solo album, first solo album in 2001, it's called Momentum. 2003, RE Mix Momentum. 2004, Welcome to Diversity. 2005, Renovating Diversity. Portable Sounds in 2007, Alive and Transported in 2008, Tonight, 2010, Christmas in Diversity 2011, Eye on It 2012, This Is Not a Test 2015, Yeats Deep Life 2016, Light of Christmas 2017, The Element 2018, The Saint Nemele Collapse Sessions 2019, Toby Mac Collection 2020, Live in Denver 2021. That's quite a number.
I apologize for Ari struggling to say words.
Yeah.
So just Google it. Yeah, he was really struggling. That second album you said is called what? RE Mix Momentum.
Yeah.
So that's just basically a clever way to say remix.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is RE Mix. Yeah, so that's his albums. I remember earlier I did say something similar to LL, where he had a longevity with lots of albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 13 albums. Well, LL used to be looked at like that once upon a time, because he's an artist that came around in the 80s, mid-80s, still active till like the mid-2000s. He had 13 albums, all of them platinum or gold. Mm-hmm. But because hip-hop was in his infancy stages. Now you get in a point where artists that came out in the 90s, he's still extremely active, still doing well, still putting out records because the genre has grown older. So he's not the only one to have done that, but he is one of the first and one of the few remaining active
from the 80s.
Superstar 80s, because unfortunately, you got mainly your hip-hop superstars came around in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then grew to the, unfortunately, the 80s guys is looked, they kind of looked over in some degree. And I think him and Run DMC, which I'm dressed like today, I would just like to add. I am dressed like it.
Where's your Kango? I thought you were going to be dressed like...
Okay, so yeah, the reason why I mentioned LL, because Toby Mac, to put some... What's it called? He's regarded as one of the, if you search top 50 Christian hip hop artists, he's in the top 10.
I'm not having this conversation with you. I'm not having this conversation with you.
No, I'm talking Christian hip hop.
Yeah, I know. I'm not having this conversation with you. We're not having top nothing because you don't let me get it off.
Yeah, because your top is in no particular order.
So that does Toby Mac. Anything else you'd like to add on him?
No.
Okay, so let's get into two songs by Toby Mac.
Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, making music for the people. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Music for the people, making music for the people. I wanna magnify your light. I wanna reflect the sun. Cut like precious diamonds. With colors by the millions. This is the only world we know. And for now this rental's our home. If we gon' be a reflection, gotta make this dirt rock glow. Just so you know.
Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, making music for the people. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shines bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, Jesus, music for the people. Lights in the city might be more than pretty.
That freaky shine might be more than meets the eye. Anytime you see the sparkle in the dark, you might look deeper. It might be more than simply fear. Yo, that smile might be joy that's connected to the spirit. The spirit might be contagious. If you dare, you dare come near it. I remember, can't forget. Peace that you can't second guess. Sparkle as the light reflects. We write and pay it forward checks.
Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people making music for the people. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, Jesus, music for the people.
boy CJ, listening to Active FM. You know what it is, time to turn the world upside down.
So that was Toby Mac featuring Holland, Light Shining Bright, and Help Is On The Way. Shiki, your handwriting is really bad though.
But I apologize.
Help Is On The Way.
You sent me the songs, you should have known the name.
So now we're going to get... We're going to pass it over to Ari Styles.
D-W-I-H-H-H, this week in hip-hop history.
What? D-W-I-H-H-H?
D-W-I-H-H-H, yeah.
Oh, D-W-I-H-H-H, this week in hip-hop history. Right. So in June 2008, Ice-T, this is Soulja Boy. The reason why I put it here, because Ice-T mentioned it. When he was asked, when they asked Ice-T about the current state of hip-hop at that time in 2008, Ice-T said Soulja Boy single-handedly killed hip-hop.
I agree.
Right? But you were bombing the Soulja Boy in 2008.
Ironically. No worry, like that Superman.
Kiss me through the phone.
Oh, kiss me through the phone. Because you actually want someone to kiss you through the phone.
No. And I agree with it. Besides that, I was happy that someone, at that point in time, I was actually happy that someone said something, because he was just allowed to make utter nonsense and call it music, rap, or hip-hop. And I'm happy that someone actually stood up and said something that is utter garbage.
And someone credible.
Yes.
I see. June 1996, Helter Skelter releases Nocturnal.
Helter Skelter.
What does Nocturnal mean, Ari?
Nocturnal meaning you sleep in a day and you out at night.
Okay, I was just asking. Because you've been struggling like with words today and you used the wrong words.
Yeah, sorry. Today is not a good day. It's fair. June 2013, Yeezus is released, Kanye West. Mm-hmm. June 2013 as well, J. Cole releases Born Sinner, that is his second album. June 2001, Baby Boy soundtrack is released. That's the movie Baby Boy, and there's a song with Tyrese and Snoop Dogg called Baby Boy.
Yeah, well, they were two stars. Well, Tyrese was the star of the movie. Yeah. Taraji. Snoop had a cameo,
yeah. But I like it, so you're just a baby boy. Yeah.
You're not the real McCoy.
Oh, I've been running the streets. Okay. June 1989, NWA was arrested for F the police.
For performing it or for the record coming out?
The record, and they were warned before performing it.
Oh, in Detroit, like in the Detroit scene from the movie.
But that's what actually happened. The scene from the movie, they dramatized it, right?
Obviously.
So how it actually happened is they were told not to perform the track. Mm-hmm. They performed it, but when they went back to the hotel, that's when the police came. It's not how they showed it on the movie.
It's a movie, it's dramatized. I believe it happened that way. You cannot tell me otherwise. That's how it happened.
I'm telling you from...
No. You are ruining people's childhoods here. That's so
necessary. They saw the movie. It happened like how it happened in the movie.
That's what I will believe till the end of time.
You can believe it, but I'm just giving you the...
Exactly.
We state the facts and play the tracks. There's it.
He just got you learned.
It's an important record anyway. That was like the beginning time of the counterculture, anti-establishment, going brutality against the government, police type of police music. Brutality. It was them and Public Enemy. And it's
such an important song that even now, what police brutality, that's
still relevant. Yeah. It was written by Ice Cube also.
Yeah. June 1990, Eric B. and Rakim released Let the Rhythm Beat Them. That's their third album.
Yeah, we were speaking about Rakim earlier in the Bridge, the KRS section. Yeah. He was an 80s rapper as well, extremely influential. One of the best MCs, changed the game in terms of the way people rhymed. His old structure, everything, the way he schemes, the way he wrote, changed the entire game. And he wrote, people thought he wrote some of Will Smith's joints, but he actually didn't. He admitted it. It was just his flow that Will Smith stole. Mm.
Okay, June 1995, Mac 10 debuts. His debut album was released in 1995.
Just for some perspective, Mac 10 was part of Ice Cube's group. What are they called again?
West Side Connection,
that's it.
Ha, here's it. June 2010, Eminem releases Recovery. Eminem has to come in the show.
If it's part of D-W-I-H-H-H, then you can mention it. I don't right. have an issue with it. So since we're on the Eminem thing anyway, this is not necessarily history because it just happened this yesterday. And
wait,
it's a rumor. Oh, okay, you're going to get into it.
Okay,
a
rumor.
A new event, basically, which will become history. It's the first ever official Snoop and Eminem collaboration that came out yesterday. Since we were on the Eminem,
But anyway, but thank you for highlighting it, yes. So, this past week, in current hip hop. This week, in 2022, Eminem and Snoop's collaboration From the D to the LBC, the track.
Which was originally supposed to have been on, they put out an album recently, what is it? Mount Westmore, which is Snoop, Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40.
Yeah.
And that song was supposed to have been on that album. But it seems like it's going to come out on an Eminem album. Why I say it's important is because even though they come from the same team under the same umbrella, this is their first official song together. Eminem back in the day sampled Snoop for one of his records.
It's the B, Please.
I can't remember. Yeah. Old. He sampled one of his records and then they never actually did a song together. Even though they performed and they might have been of different collabs, but them officially have never did a record together. So
together.
Say, it will become an important week, maybe next year. Yeah. It will be in history.
And on our way home and on our way here, Ari's been playing that song over
Non-stop.
And over.
I have to.
Check it out. It's not a bad song.
It's a very good song. It's an awesome song, right?
It's okay. I'm not going to lie to people. It's okay.
It's a good song. Don't say it's okay. It's not okay. It's never okay.
Show
with
your bias all the time. Continue with T-W-I-H-H-H. Okay.
This past week in hip hop history, back again. June 1970, Pete Rock was born. Top producer. Mm-hmm. Legendary.
And was a rapper as well. But more known for his production.
Yeah. June 1994, Bone Thugs released Creepin' on
Creepin'
Up.
Creepin' on a Come Up.
You really having a bad day with words.
Yeah, it's very, very bad. So that was their debut EP. EP stands for early production, before they produce their full-fledged album.
Well, the actual difference between EP and LP is the length of an album. A shorter album under 50 minutes would be regarded as an EP. Anything over that would be regarded as
six
an LP.
Tracks. It's basically five tracks.
Well, they change the rules all the time, but before it used to be, if the album in its entirety is under 50 minutes, it would be regarded as an EP. If it's over that, it would be an LP.
Yeah, but currently now it's five tracks, it's an EP. And longer than six is regarded as LP.
So they've changed the rules again once again.
June 2004, Eric Sermon releases Chilltown, New York. That was his sixth album.
That was actually his comeback. Eric Sermon was part of EPMD, then he had the Death Squad and what was the other one? Redman was from Eric's crew, and then the other one would Perish. That was his comeback album.
Okay. Jada Kiss releases in June 2004, Jada Kiss releases Kiss of Death. The title tracks from there is Why, and you know that one with Joe, what's I Know You Wanna or something.
Yeah. I think that Why is probably Jadakiss's biggest song commercially. It was a great album as well. I think I've spoken about the locks and Jadakiss a lot on the show, so I don't
yeah, sorry, it's much into it. That song with Joe is called You Make Me Wanna.
Ah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Why is a great song as well. Check it out, definitely.
June 1992, Mo Money soundtrack is released. Also, there's quite a lot of hip-hop in there. Yeah. Hip-hop tracks in there. June 23rd, 1978, Memphis Bleek was born.
A lot of people probably don't know who Memphis Bleek is. He was a Rockefeller artist. He was like Chase Little Man. There's a record where he says, as long as I'm alive, or even if I'm dead, Memphis Bleek will be a millionaire. Basically say like he got him. But he has some hits. He has a few gold albums.
Yeah. June 23rd, 1971, No ID was born. Also a dope producer. Did you know he ghost, you know, you heard of ghost writing. He ghost produced for Jermaine Dupri.
No ID's been is also a Rockefeller producer. Yeah. He's on that record with J. Cole. He says, No ID, my mentor, now let the story begin.
Yeah. He's Kanye West's mentor.
Yeah, he produced the whole 444. Album
for Jay.
And when you say ghost producing, I think that he is dead and he was in the studio.
No,
and
no, ghost writer. No, you like you have a thing against ghost writers.
I do.
Yeah. So that's why I had to mention the ghost producing. Mm-hmm. Okay. We spoke about Eminem one.
How can it be in history if it happened yesterday?
Yeah, that's why I said current history. Anyway, June 20th, 2017, Prodigy from Mobb Deep passed away.
How's it
rest
yesterday?
In peace.
So that's June 20th?
20th, yeah.
Okay, Prodigy, I don't know if we really spoke about him much on the show, but Prodigy, one half of Mobb Deep, extremely impactful lyrical rapper. If Shook One comes on today, everybody will know what that song is. One of the great, great, great MCs.
And it's not a 8 Mile song?
Yes, one of the best. Like in, there was a period in time where he was the best MC for a little while in the game. Mobb Deep as a whole, as a collective, legendary group. When we spoke about the top 5 groups, I had my duos, which I wasn't supposed to have done, supposedly, but they were in my top 5 duos.
Okay. June 22nd, 1962, Schoolie D was born. If you know about gangster rap, the first gangster song, gangster track, Schoolie D. Ice-T even mentioned it before, he done 6 in the morning.
Police at my door, fresh, I did a squeak across the bathroom floor. So a lot of people credit NWA with gangster rap, but they credit Ice-T. Ice-T, who was the first, actually credited Schoolie D.
Yeah, so that's Schoolie D.
Well, that's some hip-hop history for you.
June 1999, Mercy Elliott releases her second album. It's the second studio album.
Another Eric B. Right.
No, it's not. So Eric B and Rakim, June 1992, this one. They released their fourth and final studio album, Don't Sweat the Technique.
Well, final studio album as a collective.
Yeah.
Afterwards, Rakim has still been active. I think like last year, year before last year, he put out another album.
Yes. June 24, 2003, Gangsta released their sixth album, The Owners.
Gangsta, just for perspective, Gangsta is
Premier, DJ Premier, and Guru.
Legendary. You must have heard the name before, and the MC was Guru.
Right. And that was it for this past week in hip-hop history.
Alright, I hope you'll enjoy the TWI HHH.
And a TCWI.
You struggle with normal words, you're gonna confuse the acronym. Do not do it.
Just keep it short
just
and sweet.
Leave it, leave it. Your inflections on this week in hip hop history.
That was this past week in hip hop history. Anyway,
every time you do it, you put a different inflection on a different word. I'll just explain what it means as you are.
Yeah, please,
are
please, I can't.
Put in emphasis on different words. Just explain emphasis.
Explain what does emphasis mean?
No, shut up. Anyway, that's the show for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. So as the future weeks come along, like last week, we discussed basically what beefs and battling is and its importance within the culture and the art form because of the competitive nature. So as the weeks go along, we'll delve into different battles or beefs that took place. We might not necessarily do them in chronological order, even though we started with an early one. But stay tuned if you're interested and in this thing. So we'll delve into them, discuss them. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the turntable on Active FM, where radio has never been better.
Yes, this is the turntable where we keep you learned and get you turned, or get you learned and keep you turned. Any way you look at it.
Yeah, and that was Shiki, Ari Styles, and I'm D Money. I'm just going to give you a small verse before we get into our final song. So it's coming from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And then we're going to end it off with the song by Lecrae featuring YK.
Osiris.
Osiris. Set me free.
It's simple. Who love me and who don't, Lord, let it reveal. Should I go back to save them or let them die in the field? How you out there living life? You just dancing with ghosts. How many people with them they know in more than a year? Gotta move smart, got something to lose. No, wait. No, please. No!
Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you.
Shackles on my feet, they won't let me be. Won't won't you set me free? Pray this on me. Shackles on my feet. Oh, they won't let me be. Won't you set me free? Pray this all on me. Pray this all on me.
Let me go. Let me go. I've been going through so much. I swear these people at my throat. That's on me. That's on mama's. On my mama, I can't take no more. So miss me with that drama. Get your commas. Get your racks straight. Get your facts straight. Hold me down. I rise up on them like the tax rate. Keep my past straight. Never lack faith. God been working. They gon' have to hold me back, man. And tell them. You can pick a side if you wanna. You already know who I roll with. You don't want no problems with me. Get these shackles off
of my feet. Yeah, they won't let me be. Won't you set me free? Pray this on me. Pray this on me.
I got them shackles off my feet. Yeah, yeah. Can't put me back up in the streets. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't move, but now I'm free. Yeah, yeah. I got them shackles on my feet, yeah, 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 yeah. Down for me, down for me. People love me, you was round for me, round for me. All that bitterness and anger, had to let it go. People talking down on me, I guess that's how it go. Let them know, that's on me, yeah. Shackles on my feet, you broke the hold and now I'm free, yeah. Even in the darkest times, you kept your light on me, yeah. Got the memo, read the message, found my purpose, found my method. Only L I took was lessons, tell them. You can pick a side if you wanna. You already know who I roll with. You don't want no problems with me. Get these shackles
on my feet. Yeah, they won't let me be. Won't you set me free? Pray this on me. Pray this on me.
I got them shackles off my feet. Yeah, yeah. Can't put me back up in the streets. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't move, but now I'm free. Yeah, yeah. I got them shackles on my feet, yeah, yeah. I got them shackles off my feet, yeah, yeah. Can't put me back up in the streets, yeah, yeah. I couldn't move, but now I'm free, yeah, yeah. I got them shackles on my feet, yeah, 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 yeah.